Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
cry. I'm the moment to be something for yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. Matthew chapter 13 and verses, excuse me, Matthew chapter 5, let's begin at verse 13. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified, out of the Logos, and out of the King James. Here he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt becomes tasteless, by what will it be made salty? It is good for nothing any longer except to be thrown outside and trampled underfoot by people." Hear what Jesus is saying. In your Bible, it ought to be in red. In the computer here, it says black. Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. Jesus is saying that if you are not glorifying God, if what you are saying does not cause people to want to come close to God, then what you are saying is worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's like painting and don't have, it's like painting, you have the brush in your hand, but there's no paint on the brush. Do you hear what I'm saying? He says, "You are the light of the world. A city located on top of a hill cannot be hidden." In other words, people ought to be able to see and hear what you're saying. You ought to be making sense, not agitated by what people are saying or not saying, not being moved by what the neighbors are saying. But you're moved by what God is saying. I don't care what the devil says. The devil has no power and has no authority over me or over us. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to know that, see, when we know that we are purchased, when we know that we are blood bought, we are begin to walk with authority, speak with authority, operate in the realm of holiness. We are begin to walk and talk and live. Hallelujah. Verses 15 says, "Nor do they light a lamp and plant it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines all on all those in the house." See, when you begin to live for Christ and you begin to live out the anointing, the light of God begins to flow through you, through us. People begin to see that we're not just talking, but we are living the kingdom life. It don't mean that you are rich and you have all this money. You're rich in the spiritual riches. Hallelujah, glory to God. You may not even have a job, but you have the kingdom on the inside. Because he said the kingdom is not flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what the kingdom is. Let's go to Romans. Keep your finger there let's go to Romans chapter 14 and 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." That is what the kingdom is. Hallelujah. If you don't have this, you don't have the kingdom. You ought to have some peace. You ought to be operating in righteousness. And the joy of the Lord ought to be your strength. We're talking about, do you know who you are and what you have? Here in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Every day I quote that scripture out of my spirit, because I said it and said it and said it till it's lodged in my heart. In a word, it's not just want to be need to be lodged in your heart, but the Lord, the word need to be activated by the way we live. Our light ought to be shining so bright that people don't have to see us with a Bible. Once they get in our presence, they begin to see clearly. Zechariah says, Zechariah chapter 2 says, you can read this, this is 13 verses, it's so powerful. And he's talking about Jerusalem, but let's hit one verse here and then we'll go back and break up some of this in the Logos Bible, Matthew chapter 5. He says, behold, I will swing my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who serve them. Then you shall know, recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger. The Lord says, the ones who you serve, those who you serve will plunder you. They will end up robbing you. This is what he's saying. Here in the book of Matthew, after the Beatitudes, Jesus began to speak this word. And we're talking about, do you know who you are and what you have? He said, and what follows Jesus shift from pronouncements of blessing into instructions about the law? He compares his following to salt and light, his followers to salt and light. Elements commonly used as metaphors in antiquity, his point is that disciples who fail to live a lifestyle that reflects the values of the kingdom of heaven are akin to something tasteless or devoid of light, undesirable, of no value. This is what Jesus was saying. Salt of the earth. Salt fulfilled a variety of functions throughout biblical history. Israel's proximity to the Dead Sea and numerous salt pits throughout the land made salt a readily accessible commodity. In Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 9, we just read that scripture. The light of the world recalls Israel's role as a light to the nations. Isaiah 42 and 6, Isaiah 49 and 9. In John, Jesus described himself as the light of the world, John 8 and 12, John 9 and 5. Jesus commonly refers to God by this designation, which indicates the relationship of Father and Son. The concept of Yahweh as a father was common throughout Israel history. 2 Samuel 7 and 14, 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 9 to 10, Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Here Jesus extends this metaphor to members of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Now, in the book of Isaiah 42, King James Version, we're talking about, do you know who you are? And you know, a lot of times if you don't know who you are, you're looking for somebody to give you accolades or encourage you of who you are. But when you know who you are and whose you are, you don't need anybody to give you accolades. You're just living for whose you are. Listen here. In the book of Isaiah the prophet, he says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's talking about Jesus. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. Matthew chapter 12, verse 19. Now, we have to take on the same characteristics of Jesus. The same characteristic of who Jesus is. Not worse. He is still powerful, still awesome, still anointed to do the will of the Father. We have to take this thing on. And this thing has to become real to us. Too many people are playing with it. They're just skipping through the tulips. They don't know who they are, and they don't know whose they are. Neither do they know what they have. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's all there in that scripture. Who you are, who you are, and what you have, it's all there in that scripture. But we don't know it. We play around with the anointing. We play around with the position or the assignment that he called us for. How many preachers that you see are preaching and teaching and don't know what they have? They're put on a show for the people that are sitting in the pews. They don't understand the anointing, the power that God has vested in them. So they don't even uncork the bottle, per se. It's like having the finest, here to even use this metaphor, but this is the one that I'm hearing in my spirit. It's like having the finest aged wine in your basement, and you don't know that's in the basement. It's got dust. It's fine. It's matured in the basement. It has dust cobweb on the bottle. You don't even know it's there. One day your grandson or granddaughter going down the basement find that old bottle and brings it up to you. Grandpa, grandma, look what I found in the basement. It looks like it's been there for a long time. And you look and see the bottle. It's got so much worth. It has so much worth. In the context, in the contents, not only inside it, but the value of it. And when you break that cork, something happens. Isaiah says, this is the first of four poems in chapter, from chapter 40 to 55. He said, look here, my servant. I hold him, my chosen one. In whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit in him. That just read to you 1 John 4:4. The same spirit that Isaiah is talking about is not only in Jesus, but it's in the sons and daughters of Jesus. The ones who call him daddy. The ones who commit and submit to him as Lord and Savior. We running around looking power from everywhere when it's already inside of us. Do you know who you are and what you have? The Bible says, verse 5 says, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5, King James, thus says the Lord that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto them people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Listen. All this is in you. All this is what we have. Hallelujah. We have the breath of the Lord in us. We have the spirit of the Lord in us. How could see that? He says, to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. There's a lot of people in the physical prison house. But then there's many more in the spiritual prison house, prison in their own minds. And what they need is the light of God that's in us. The seasoning, that thing that makes food taste better, the salt, because it calls us the salt and the light of the world. We need to use this thing that's within us, that's within us, to lead people out. Don't just try to look at them and validate who they are. Christ knows who they are. He's the one who died on the cross for all of us. He knows who we are, who they are. What we need to do is we need to share what he has given us for them so they can get out of darkness. And it starts with love, L-O-V-E. Loving them in spite of who they are, because he loved us and loved us and loved us in spite of who we were and who we are. Because none of us are perfect. We're striving for perfection. He said, I am the Lord. That is my name. Verse 8. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God is not going to share his glory, talking about that honor that belongs to him. Yet in John chapter 17 and 22, I think it is, he says to the Father, the glory he had with the Father he gave to them, that they would become one. So he's not talking with that glory that he gave to us to do the work. He gave us glory so we can do the work. You cannot do the work of the kingdom without the glory. But when we get up on that altar and we start to testify and we start to proclaim like we are the ones doing all of this stuff and making this stuff happen, and we're making blind eyes open and people get up out of a wheelchair, that is us, and we call it a dump to speak in the death to hear, he's not going to tolerate that. Hallelujah. You have preachers doing that today. Let's go in. Isaiah 48, and let me see what I got there. Let me see. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. 48:11. He said, for my own sake, even for my own sake, would I do it, for how shall my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. You hear that? God is doing what he's going to do for his name to be glorified. In the end, we're going to hear it was God. It was God who done it. We know what the end of the Bible says. We are victorious through him. Here in this book, he declared the works that he's going to do. Before you do, John chapter 8, King James, hallelujah, glory to God. John 8, pages are turning slow. That's why I like the computer, because it's fast. Jesus speaking, in 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, this light gives life. Remember, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. John 14:6. So when you have this light of Jesus, this spiritual light, you have life. All of us, before we got saved, were like walking dead, because we didn't have this light. That's why we walked around like chickens with our head cut off. My mama just said, boy, I can't talk to you. You're like a chicken with your head cut off. I didn't know all that stuff she was saying, all these nuggets she was dropping into me when I was a little boy. But she always says, I'm talking to you and talking to you, but you like a chicken with a head cut off. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, that means continue, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9 and 5. Do you have the light of life? Are you excited about the life that you're living for the kingdom? Are you the light that's supposed to be in you? Is the light shining in darkness? Are people inquisitive about your life, or are they not seeing any light? He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. As long as he is in the world, he is the light of the world. Well, he's not physically in the world right now because he's gone back to be with the Father, sitting at the right hand. But spiritually, he is here. His life that's in us, he is in us, and he ought to be shining. But there's too much competitive people in the body of Christ competing with each other, fighting with each other. We're making these others our enemies. And I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. You only have one enemy. And his name is Satan, the devil, Diablo, Beelzebub. He got the dragon, the serpent. He has many names, but he is still the same person, a deceiver, an accuser of the brethren. That's our enemy. He's the enemy of the cross, and he's our enemy. David says he hit what God hit and he loved what God loved. Hallelujah. Now let's look at another scripture. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Okay, Holy Spirit, I hear you. I'm not going to either. Don't go into that. 2 Samuel 7. Chapter 7. And 2 Samuel chapter 7 and 14. He said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. Listen. We don't want to be corrected. Most of us. And if God call you son or daughter, and you come up short in your walk, he's going to correct you. You're going to have correction. And sometimes he will use his pastors, his leaders, to correct his children, not to embarrass them, but to correct them. But we don't want correction, because it's the pastor, the apostle, the bishop, the evangelist, and they're leading in the house of the Lord, watching over the house. They're watchmen. They're the angels of the house. And if they say something to us and we're part of the congregation, we don't want to go back. We won't go back because who they think they are. That's what we say to ourselves, and God hears it. Who they think they are? They're not my father. They can't tell me what to do. Go to First Chronicles. They can't tell me what to do. Huh? We don't want no correction. And we wonder why we're not grown. We're stuck on stupid. We're quick to argue and frustrate the work of the kingdom. We give the devil more praise than we give to God. Every other thing that comes out of our mouth is the devil. I don't have time with him. I got work to do. You understand? Don't give him no time. Do what you need to do, what you're called to do, and allow God to lead you. Stay in the light. Help your brother, help your sister. First Chronicles chapter 22, let's look at verse 9 and 10. Listen. Oh, Lord. Do you know who you are and what you have? That's a question. That's one question. Do you know who you are and what you have? Hallelujah. Because if you know who you are and what you have, you begin to operate on a different realm, in a different level. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You begin to operate different. You're not moved by every wind and doctrine. You're not moved by everything the enemy says. Because you know who you are, whose you are, and you know what you have. You know that you're empowered from on high. You're empowered to do spiritual warfare in this realm. That's your calling. You're not empowered to run around with alligator crocodile shoes and all this stuff, and Gucci and all this stuff, to look like you're so important and doing no work for the kingdom. You got four-bedroom house, five-bedroom house, three-car garage, four-car garage, swimming pool. You're not empowered for that. You're empowered to lead souls out of darkness. You are the salt and light of the earth. You're supposed to change the situation because the words that come out your mouth is like salt. It ought to be changing out of our mouths. It ought to be changing people. It ought to be changing the mindset by what we say and what we do. We fuss and fight with each other every day. Satan people are together. His army are together. They know that they got one assignment, and that's to deceive the people of God. And they're walking together. They're working together. They're operating in that dark realm together, Satan and his force. And we are the force of light, but we can't operate together. Why? Because we're allowing the enemy to distract us and defocus us. 2 Samuel chapter 7. He said, He says, And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I've cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, and I've made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, point a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. There you hear what the Lord says. The Lord says they're speaking to his servant David. Do you know that the same word is for all of us? He wants to make our names great as servants, as ambassadors for the kingdom. But we are trying to make our own name great by doing what pleases our flesh and not the kingdom. This is a kingdom. It must have a kingdom purpose, a kingdom mindset. The assignment is all about the kingdom, to win souls. If you happen to get 2 cents or 2 pork chops above hunger, say, Lord, I thank you. $2 above bankruptcy, say, Lord, I thank you, because you didn't bring anything in this world. And surely, you're not going to take anything out of this world. No matter what you gain while you're here. No matter what we gain while we're here, we can't take nothing with us. Don't be like the man that they put the picture on Facebook years ago. Ever so often, it comes around. He got this antique Chrysler Chevrolet car. Big long car. You know, back then in the 70s and 60s, them cars used to be just as wide as they're long. And he was sharp, well-conditioned. And when he died, he was sitting in that car. He had bought the lot in the graveyard big enough to put the car down. They probably had to have one of them backhoes or something to put the car down in the ground. He was going where he going with that car. There's no highways in hell. There's no highways that you can get in and drive and go nowhere. But he was sitting. They had him look so good with one of these Fedora hats on. Nice black suit and tie, white shirt and tie. And he was sitting behind that wheel like he was going somewhere. You came in here naked, and surely you're going out naked. We are trained to get this stuff of the world. And all God wants us to do is then put what he has put in us into the world. Release it into the world. Listen, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, we're in the King James Version. I'm just trying to give you some stuff here because we got to get back to the foundation. We got to get back to the foundation of the scripture. Recognize who we are, whose we are, what's inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he the world, but you forget the main important thing. The first part of that scripture, the eighth part says, we are of God. We are of God. That's the first thing that the scripture begins with. But we've jumped all down to the B section of the scripture. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Because that sounds good. Sounds relevant. But the most important part is that we are of God. That's who we are. We are his sons and daughters. And when we know that, we begin to walk in authority. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. I will declare the decree. He, Lord, has said unto me. No, I got to see that wrong. Let's go back. I will declare and decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Listen. Ooh, Jesus, have mercy. This powerful psalm right here. Short psalm, but powerful. So many verses in here you can pull out to truly know, get the gist of who you are, who God said you are in this psalm. Let's go to 1 John. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and 45. Let's go back there. And then we go to 1 John. We have been hitting that scripture all day long, but we'll put it back up again because that's the place. This is the place that I had it in the sermon. Amen. 45. Matthew chapter 5 and 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Sometimes we don't want to go through anything. When we having financial difficulties, when we having physical difficulties, pain in our body, we say, well, you know, Lord, I've been preaching on Wednesday, I've been preaching on Sunday, I've been preaching on Saturday. All these things we start to bring before God. Why am I having all this stuff? This is what he says right here. Because you're preaching and teaching and living the word, that don't mean that this physical body can't come down with something. Because this body is not safe. It's not safe. It's your spirit, man, that's safe. This body is an open target. Target board or we call it for the devil. He is shooting arrows at your body to discourage you. You say, well, I'm not strong enough to pray today. I don't feel good enough to do this, and you just give up. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. I don't feel like praying. All the stuff comes to break you down. All that's operating in the flesh. But when we stand up and stand flat, put it in the spirit, we're able to come up out of that stuff. Glory to God. I was talking to a lady the other day in New Orleans, and she was telling me she thanked God so much. She had been in several drug rehab, and the Lord had me ministering to this woman. She's not a young woman. And I'm talking to her. She said, Apostle, I love you so much. She said, me and my children, we pray for you every day. I said, well, thank you. I'll be praying for you all too. My family and I, we are praying for you too, like we pray for every other people, many other people every day and the world. And I would share with her my testimony. Every time that I get to talk to her and her family, I end up sharing part of my testimony because it's the thought that I have. It's the light that I have. And when I begin to share that, she gets stressed. But I said, if he can do it for me, he'll do it for you. He's no respecter person. You just got to trust him. You just got to depend and rely on him. Even when the wind is blowing, even when the storms are raging, you still got to say, I know he's able to say, peace be still. You got to know that. Let us go over to 1 John. Glory to God. There's so much in the Logos Bible on this stuff, but the Lord, he said, just stay right here in the King James. And sometimes you just got, not something, all the time you just got to follow what the Lord is saying. Don't try to do it your way. Don't try to do it your way. Because disturbance is going to come. Things are going to happen to disturb you. And if you're moved by the things that come, when the wind, he talks about the wind. He talks about the rain and stuff. You got to stand. And what he said there, and go back there to Matthew chapter 5. I mean, that's a powerful verse right there. You know, most people don't elaborate on it, but I hear the Holy Spirit say, go back and look at it again. Matthew chapter 5 and 45. And, you know, he's talking about all the stuff that's coming down. He told you the Beatitudes. He told you about the blessings and all that stuff. He told you all that stuff this morning. And he told you about the salt and the light. And then he come here and drop this into your stomach. He dropped this right in your stomach. This is like a brick. He dropped right in your stomach. He says, that you may be the children. In other words, he tells you that you got to live a certain way. You got to operate in a certain realm of holiness, righteousness, regardless of what's happening in our lives, our children, our family, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, or kinfolk, or people that are close to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We still got to operate. We got to operate in this way that he says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, not your Father which is here on the earth. Because, see, he was once our Father. But we divorced him. We evict him from our lives. We were once the children of darkness and the children of disobedience. But now we are the children of light. Hallelujah. And we must let our light shine all the time. All the time we must strive to let our light shine. Sometimes I'm more difficult than sometimes. You understand? Sometimes you've got to fight because it's a fight to let your light shine. Sometimes so many things are coming at you through the back door, the side door, the window. The roof is blowing up. All kinds of stuff is going on to stop you from allowing your light to shine. In other words, for you to walk in the love of God, the compassion of God, the integrity of God. A lot of things happen that you got to fight. He said that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He said, well, it shouldn't wet me. I shouldn't get so. Why is the tornado tearing up my house and all this stuff, and the earthquake and all of my stuff is shaking? I'm a righteous son of God. Did he tell you that? The tornado going to shake the unjust house. The earthquake going to shake the unjust house. The tornado going to rip off the unjust house and the just roof. But you're still the son and daughter of God. You got to understand that. God still got you covered. He'll give you another roof, another house. 1 John 4:4, he says, you are of God, the children, for and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You understand that? Understand it. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hear them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, when you're walking in this life, you can know when somebody's phony. They're fake. They're not for real. Hallelujah. Love is the action word. It does not hurt. How can you love her and still break her jaw? You ain't love her. How can you love him and poison him? You don't love him. If you love him so much, you'll die for him. But you don't love him that much. Jesus loves him. He said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Do you hear what he says? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for love is of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here it is love. Not that we love God, but that God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's the scripture right there, people. Listen, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to the scripture. This book speaks for itself. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. He said you have the anointing. This thing lives on the inside of you. 1 John 2 and 20. This is why we're asking you, do you know who you are and what you have? The Bible said we have the anointing. We read it in 1 John 4 and 4. It's inside of us. We ought to activate this thing every time we wake up. Start with prayer. Start with prayer. Start with glorifying the Father. Start with exalting the Father. And to see for people that don't like you, don't care for you, that call you names that are not in the book. Lift them up. Lift up their names before the Lord instead of criticizing them. Verse 24, same book, 1 John 2 and 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You see, this thing got to stay inside of you. You heard how he died for us. You heard how he gave his love for us, his life for us. This brings us and makes us one with him. Because we receive him as our Lord, as our Savior. You remember in John chapter 15? We got to abide in him. We got to stay connected to the vine, because the branch can bear no fruit without the vine. You ever seen a branch sticking off on laying on the floor, on the ground, and the vine is all the way going everywhere, and fruit still being on that branch? No, you can't. It wouldn't happen. It's impossible. Because why? It has disconnected itself from the life source. And when we are disconnected from the life source, what happened to us? Let's jump up to verse 18. Verse 18, 1 John chapter 2 and 18. Listen what it says. It says, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Then he says here, powerful, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. See, if they really connected to us, were engrafted in us, if you go up to verse 17, this is powerful. He says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you hear what he said? We got to stay connected to Christ First John 3 and 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. See, if we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we are going to keep his commandments. We're not going to be disobedient children like we used to be. Excuse me. We know that we will want disobedience. John says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord of the Son of Jesus Christ, of his Son Jesus Christ. Let's read this again. And this is his commandment, God's commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love, listen to what he says, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He gave us a commandment to love one another. He said in John that we should be one as he and the Father is one. Go to John, St. John 4. St. John 4. I'm almost there. St. John 4. I try to do at least 15 scriptures, 15 or 16 or something scriptures, and that bring me to the time with a little aberration that I want. St. John chapter 4, and let's see what the scripture I want to get here. Let's start at verse 1. Let's start at verse 21, sorry. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not. What? You know what? We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The thing here that Jesus is speaking about, this worship needs to come out of the heart. And this worship has to be in spirit and in truth. A lot of people are trying to worship God, but they have not truth. There's no truth in them. They're full of lies. And this is why they're not seeing the manifestation or the unction of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 32. Go to John 16 and 32. We're almost there. Glory to God. 16 and 32. So Jesus answered them, do you not believe? Behold, the hour cometh, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Excuse me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Jesus told us, has laid this command before us. It's right here in the book. He said that we're going to have tribulation. But he wants us to operate with a peace of mind, knowing that he has overcome. And knowing that he is coming back, he's coming back to receive us. John 16, 13, and 14. You're right in the book. Right in the book. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Listen, that is so powerful. Shema, let her out. Jesus wants us to focus on the assignment that he gave to us. And he wants us to look into our own hearts, into our own soul, our own mind, our own subconscious. Look into it and see what's there. Spend time with him so that he can show us, the Holy Spirit can show us what we have. Because most of us are acting like people or children that are lost, don't know where their parents are. And he's saying to us, the hour's come. We have to stand up. We have to let our light shine. Be the salt. We used to use this salt. This salt was so powerful. It's still powerful. We should use it back in the country for so much things. Because a lot of times we weren't able to go we got a scratch or something. Do you know salt is used like an anesthesia? It's going to burn the daylights out of you, but I'm telling you something. It's going to heal that scratch. And the blood is going to clot fast, real quick. You put a little sprinkle of salt on it, it's going, oh, nana! You scream, but it burns quick and stop quick. And you look back at the scratch, the little cut you had. You probably need a stitch or two. But soon you put the salt on it, it's going to start clotting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just thank the Lord and praise the Lord for the word that he gave us today. Father, we just thank you. We just bless your name, Lord. We honor you, God, for what you have done and for the people that came on. The prophetess, she was on here. She had to get off because she got to go back and take care of the old lady who's on her way out of this world, getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. She's taking care of the old lady. And we just thank God for her. Minister Jones was on for a little bit. We just thank God for them, and Pastor Stewart, and Brother Deacon Frazier. We just thank God for you all. We are praising God and glorifying God for our Lord. We just thank you for this word. Lord, let us just take a look into our inside and examine our own self to see that, Lord, you have already empowered us for the work that's before us. Lord, let us know that it's going to get even worse, but we can stand flat-footed because you are putting a hedge, you have placed a hedge around us. You told us that in Zephaniah. You have put the fire around us to protect us, to shield us. Hallelujah, glory to God. The enemy is not going to come close to us when he sees the fire burning around us. It's the fire of God. It's the shield of God around us. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you for watching over our friends and our families and our co-workers, Lord. We thank you, God, for shielding us and keeping us safe and secure, even in this time that we're living in this perilous times where people are taking life so easy and don't even value life anymore. We thank you, Lord, that when we go out and when we return, Lord, we go in safety and return in safety, oh God. We just thank you, Father God. Father, I thank you for Pastor Joyce. Thank you, Father God, that how you let her go there, Lord. She's always busy. Running here and running there, sharing the gospel this place and that place, going into the house and talking to the elderly. Lord, we thank you for safe travels every time she go out and every time she return. Lord, we thank you, God, that you allow to return to our husband safe and secure, Lord. We ask you, God, to, Lord, just put a hedge around her car, keep the hedge around her car, that there will be, even when the people out there doing crazy stuff, that she will not get hit unexpectedly, Lord God. no premature hits. Oh God, we know that, Lord, she traveled in safety because she is your daughter. She is your child. Father, thank you for our husband who sticks by her side. And God, oh God, we pray, God, for the strength that you are giving him in these last days that we are living in. God, we are getting older by the day, but we are getting stronger by the day. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser who comes on and stay with us every day. We ask you, God, to continue to empower him as he do his ministry. Lord God, that, Lord, that he would focus more on the assignment than what people say or don't say. The people are going to talk about us all the time. No matter what you say or what you don't want to say, people are going to talk about us because that's their job. Hallelujah. They allow the enemy to use their mouth. They allow their ears to hear the enemy. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to shut your ears. You just got to say, Lord, I don't want to hear. Lord, speak to me. I just want you to speak to me. I don't want to hear anything that's from the world. They're seeing all this stuff, but I'm just listening to you right now, Lord. I can't hear them anymore. And, Father, we just thank you for our nation. We pray for this country. We thank you, Father God, for what you have done, what you're doing. Lord, we know that you're still keeping us, even though there's so much hatred in this land. Lord, but Abraham said to you, if you could find 10 righteous men in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, will you still destroy it? You said, if you find 10 righteous men, you wouldn't destroy it. You couldn't find 10 righteous, so you had to destroy it. Lord, we know that there's more than 10 righteous men and women in this nation. And, Lord, you are keeping it. But so now today, Father, I pray that as this word went forth, God, with power and with authority, that you allow this word, O God, to begin to touch hearers, and that hearers will become speakers, O God, that they would use this word as their word to speak to others, O God, about your love, about your compassion, your mercy. And, God, that they will allow their salt to make a difference. They will allow their light to be seen, O God, that you, Father, will be glorified, and the enemy will be terrified in the mighty name of Jesus. Now we want to pray for anyone that's out there in computer line. If you hear this message and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him should not be ashamed. Hallelujah. That is Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, E-double-L, that means you, me, everybody that's on this earth have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible also says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Also in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 said that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Father God, Yahweh, loved us so much. He loved us so much that while we were still in the very act of sin, that he has sent his son to die on the cross to give us access, an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. All we needed to do is, like Peter says in Acts 2 and 38, that we had to repent. Every one of you, they want to know what must they do to be saved. And Peter tell them that there must be. He says that Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. See, they had all things common.
When we believe
and trust in the Lord,
everything become
to us. It's natural for us to believe in the things of the Lord, be in agreement. Peter says, they tried to exhort Peter and John, but Peter had to turn this exhortation from off of he and John after they prayed for the man at the gate called Beautiful at the hour of prayer. And the man got healed on his feet and began to walk, leap and walk and praise God. And Peter said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, Jesus, which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. The stone that they didn't recognize, they didn't appreciate, the one that they ostracized, the one that they asked for to be condemned instead of Barabbas, now he's become the head. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to salvation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. No. Oh, so here that in the John 3 and 9, Romans chapter 10 and 11. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. John 3:19, B said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds, their actions, their thoughts were all evil. This is the word of God. In the book of Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, the very last book of Mark, Jesus speaks to his disciples and gave them instructions, sent them out to do kingdom work. And he gave them instructions. You got to get the instructions. This is what he said to them. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So consider this. If you are stuck on stupid like the people in the world and seeing that you don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through him, you want to do your own thing, you will be damned. Because this is what Jesus said right here. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is what he said to us. This supposed to be in us, in every one of us that proclaim Jesus as Lord. We got to activate it. I want you to understand that you cannot go to heaven on your merits, on your works. Jesus did it all. He is the key to heaven. You got to receive him. He's the key to opening heaven for us to get in. Can't go in without him. Hear what I'm saying. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't do any works. You can't purchase. You can't. Nobody can give it to you. Only one can give you this free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the first thing you have to do is repent, as Peter says in Acts 2:38. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I believe that you were crucified on a hill called Calvary or Golgotha or the skull. I believe that you died there on that cross for my sins, my transgressions, my iniquities, that you gave your life that I might have access to the tree of life. I believe this in my heart according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. And I'm confessing with my mouth before man and before God that you are the risen Savior, the one who the Father raised up from the tomb on the third day. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth. The Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan right now and all of his agents and the world system. I repent for my sin. For, Lord, I live my life as a sinner, doing whatever I choose, when I choose, whenever, wherever, however. But today I'm convinced that you're the only one that can wash me in your blood and make me whole again. My heart is open, and I'm inviting you to come in, Jesus, and live on the throne of my heart. Take up your rightful position as my Savior, as my Lord, and my soon coming King. In Jesus' name. If you have just said that uncommon prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. You need to get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus and the apostles, all Lord and Savior, and his workers that he chose to go forth while he was here on the earth. He gave them assignment to teach and preach the gospel. Now you want to learn how they taught, why they taught it, so you can get grasp this thing of how he expects you and I, all of us, to live as believers. You have to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth. You receive the gift of salvation. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher. Knows how to baptize. And tell them that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want them to see that this declaration that you mean, this proclamation that you're doing right now, you're doing this because you mean it. You have committed, submitted, and you surrender your life completely to Jesus Christ. It's not saying that you're not going to have trials, because he said it. We read it in the book of John. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. But always remember that because he overcome, you overcome also. We read it in the book of John. Now, if you get baptized, you're going down. When you're getting baptized, we call it the liquid grave. And you are saying that you're leaving all your sin, all this world, into that watery grave, liquid grave. But when you come back up, you're coming up out of that grave in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. And you're going to find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. Get yourself involved in the church. And that means that you're going to do something. You're going to work. You're going to live. And you're going to work. Do something. You know, you say, well, I can't preach. Well, it takes a while. You have to get the word. Get the word in you. But while the Holy Spirit's putting the word inside your belly, you're doing some work. You're helping clean up around the church, in the church. The sanctuary, all that stuff you're doing. You're working for the kingdom. That's what it's all about. And get yourself involved. We thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation today, those that receive later. And we pray that you continue to stand, be steadfast in the word. Stay steadfast, because you're going to have attacks when you begin to, you make this decision to follow Christ. The attack's going to come.
but you got to stay strong.
And I always like to say you got to stay flat-footed. And you got to stay flat-footed. Thank God for you all that came on and hear this word today. I pray I said something that makes some sense and that you all receive it. God bless you. The line is now open for anyone that wants to come on in and encourage. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for you all and those that will receive later. Because, you know, a lot of people go on after we get off and listen. I got a lot of people in Mississippi that is sharing the word for us. I tell them, blessed me, they put it on their page. And other people have taken it up and put it on their page. It's a blessing. It's like a boomerang. It's going everywhere. So we thank God for you all. And we're going to pray and get out of here. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Thank you for those that came on and heard the word. We pray that the word has done in their life what it's doing in mine. And that they continue to walk in the righteousness of who God said we are, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, if you let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that the characteristics, the very attributes of who Jesus is will be seen in your life, in our life. So people would testify and say, well, they're truly men and women of God because we live it, we breathe it, and we are it. We thank God for you all. Have a blessed day, blessed afternoon. It's nice and sunny out. And have a blessed day. And we'll be back here tomorrow, the Lord's Day, this thing, doing what the Lord called us to do. In Jesus' name, we thank God for you all. God bless you. Bye-bye.